Blog Talk Radio.
Have you lost your mind? I mean, how is it that you can disrespect a man's ethnicity when you know we've influenced nearly every facet of white America, from our music to our style of dress, not to mention your basic imitation of our sense of cool, walk, talk, dress, mannerisms? We enrich your very existence, all the while contributing to the gross national product through our achievements in corporate America. It's these conceits that comfort me when I'm faced with the ignorant, cowardly, bitter, and bigoted who have no talent, no guts. People like you who desecrate things they don't understand, when the truth is you should say, "Thank you, man," and go on about your way. But apparently you're incapable of doing that. So, and don't tell me to be cool. I am cool. Racial epithets. Why does it always come down to that?
Huh? Come on.
All the humanity, all the...
Mary had a little lamb, it's white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you. Race.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we are live right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio, 2 minutes after the hour on this March 15th, 2012. Plenty of news to get into. Everything from racism, sexual organs, birth certificates, everything is going to get covered today, my friends. It's all there. Tuesday, March the 13th, 2012. And I'm telling you, when I tell you I got boatloads of stuff, we may not be able to get into it all today. We may have to leave some over for tomorrow. That's how crazy it's going to get today. But let me get to the first topic. Get into some light news today. This is a story I actually saw yesterday, and I didn't think it was all too bad when I heard about it. It just goes to show you where we are in the state of our union today and sometimes how we need to do certain things, even drastic things, in order for us to get our children in check. And when we don't, they become a statistic. And we're not talking about racial statistics. We're talking about the entire deal, the whole spiel, as it were. And this is a father I have to applaud. It's a small story. It's a short story. We've heard this story before, but it was nice to see a father do it. And if I may say, it's nice to see a black father do it.
A Miami seventh grader who flunked three classes is getting an A in public humiliation. Get this, Michael Bell Jr.'s dad is making him stand on a busy intersection wearing a sign that reads, "I want to be a class clown, is it wrong?" Okay, on the back it asks cars to honk if they think three Fs are bad. The odd punishment appears to be paying off. Bell now says he's sorry and will do better.
I don't like it, but I know that it was my fault that I got this.
He has been screwing up in school, behavior and academics. And right now I'm trying to send a message to him.
Bell's dad says he doesn't want his son to become a statistic, and the embarrassing sign was a last resort.
And a last resort it was. As much as they tell you don't beat your kids, as much as they tell you don't put your kids in a box, don't lock them in the closet for 9 years. I'm not saying that I did that or would want to, but I'm just saying that some fathers have to step up and making his son stand on a street corner for a little while holding a big giant sandwich board seems like the right idea. Three Fs. And he's a teenager. Now, at least the father didn't resort to him getting tasered by the cops twice. Okay, that one I'm with. That one I am with. But the bottom line is that the father stepped up. He's an African-American father. He lives in Miami. He said he doesn't want his kid to be a statistic. and this is smart to do, and sometimes you have to go to drastic measures, and sometimes you even got to get the damn press involved. That's right, you're all over TV. You want to be a star? Huh? You want to be Ray J? You want to be Lil Wayne? Who's another deplorable African-American who promotes that horrible? Chris Brown? You want to be him? That's okay. We'll make you famous. And thank God, this father stepped up and did it. I can't do anything but appreciate it. It's a damn smart move on the part of this father. I just need to get that little bit out of the way. I'm just getting some of the small stuff out of the way. Because trust me, we're going to get into some bigger stuff, eh? Especially about a woman in England who has not one, but two vaginas. That's right. Not one, but two vaginas. We'll get all the jokes in. I'm sure you got them. The number's 347-308-8701. You can send your jokes, of course, to reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. I know you've got your jokes. I've got plenty. Make sure that we can get Mr. Montgomery on the line, because I know he wants to participate in that conversation. We'll do that in the next hour. Here's another story that's actually out in California. Now, we complain about getting people jobs. Jobs, 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 jobs. Jobs are important. And the one group that's having the hardest time getting a job, and I'd say harder than any other group, are the homeless people. Now, speaking from experience, I'm a former homeless person. I've lived out on the street before. I've been homeless. I know what it's like not to have any food in your belly, rubbing two nickels together, hoping I'd make a dime. I know what it's like to be broke. And if someone had given me an opportunity then, I'd have taken it. So when a story like this comes along, I've got to go, I don't know. But I'll let you listen to it. And then we from there will make our decision after the fact. But I listened to it three times today so far. Story out of California, internet company, decided to help out some homeless people and get them a job making $50 a day. Here's their story.
The idea behind homeless hotspots is that homeless people are paid to stand by internet users while carrying a so-called MiFi device that basically acts like a wireless hotspot. The project's creators say all the profits go to a charity supporting homeless people, but some critics are not exactly convinced. Trace Gallagher has more live from L.A. Trace?
Hey, Megan, it's happening at the South by Southwest Music and Technology Conference in Austin, Texas. And the marketing company that came up with this homeless hotspot, what they do is they give these homeless people this MiFi device, and they can then access the 4G network through that. And the homeless people are also wearing T-shirts that say, I am a 4G hotspot. So if you need internet access, you go up and you stand next to them, and you pay them whatever you believe is fair. The recommended price is $2 for 15 minutes. The homeless people get to keep all that money, and they are guaranteed to get $50 for 6 hours' work. And the homeless say they very much appreciate it. Listen.
Everybody that got a job will come together and grab 12 or grab two at a time. Then you might not have a homeless problem. You will have working citizens paying taxes and living life.
But critics claim this practice is shameful. They say it's dehumanizing, dystopian. The science blogger Eric Berger writes, and I'm quoting here, it has to do with digital divides, haves and have-nots, and the idea that a fellow human being is of no more use to you than as an internet jack. But the company that created this homeless hotspot says, wait a minute, that we are actually employing these homeless people and all the extra profits go directly to homeless shelters. They say they're being villainized. They're trying to do a good thing. What they're saying is they're trying to modernize the old system where homeless people would publish and then sell their own newspapers. And they say this program will not go beyond the South by Southwest Conference, which is happening in Austin right now. A lot of criticism and a lot of others saying, wait a minute, they're providing jobs and they're also providing funding.
I'm so confused. I don't know how to feel, but I do want to look up what dystopian means. Thank you, Trey.
And that's the story. They're sending out homeless people to stand around with Wi-Fi providers around their necks. And then people put on, you know, they open up their laptops, and then they sit there, you know, whatever, and they're getting $2, as Trace Gallagher says. They get paid $2. $2 for a half an hour or 15 minutes, I think it is what he said. The question is whether or not this is dehumanizing for homeless people to sit around with a Wi-Fi adapter around their necks so that people can use the internet in the South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. JC, is this demeaning? Is this
brilliant,
dehumanizing?
I love it.
How can you not love it?
Brilliant, and I love it.
Again, what would a homeless person be doing if they didn't have this job? They would go around and collect money for nothing. Here's an opportunity to utilize homeless people and actually have them doing work, actually doing money exchanges, giving a service for money. It's not like they're getting dead.
I would clearly rather have me a homeless hotspot than a homeless bum with a beer and a shot.
Yeah, again. And you know what I find even more insane, had they used high school kids or college kids to do this, would it have been as dehumanizing? Think about it. You're going to South by South.
Listen, I mean, well, use the homeless first, but hell, that's a hell of a deal for a college student too, because those books are pretty expensive.
Yeah, exactly. So, again, if no one would have batted an eye if college students would have been able to do this, not one person would have batted an eye. They would have said, oh, good for those kids going out there, being innovative. Here's another thing that made me laugh. There was a story on Ellen DeGeneres' talk show. She's going to have the kid, our guest on the show tomorrow. He's the kid who's tap dancing on the subway to pay for his college tuition. That story glorified. See what I'm saying? That story glorified homeless people just walking around exchanging a service for Wi-Fi internet service, and that's demeaning?
Is this tap dancer African-American?
Of course he's African-American.
Oh, wow.
You see the whole point? You can dance a jig for money. That's cool. That's good old entertainment.
I feel about that pretty much like I felt about one of my favorite actors, Michael Clark Duncan.
Right.
In Planet of the Apes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. See, and again, this whole, you know, this step infection society that we're having, that, you know, Negroes running around clowning themselves. That is quite all right. You can clown yourself all day, but you can't go out there and actually earn a living. Homeless people with a Wi-Fi device around their neck, they're not doing anything for it. They're not carrying anybody's bags. They're not shining anybody's shoes. They're not dancing a jig for anyone. The only thing they're doing is putting a Wi-Fi around their neck. Guys are out there using their mobile devices or their iPads or whatever. They may not have service out there. Hey, you having some trouble getting online? Don't worry about it. Just give me $2. You could be on for 15 minutes. You need longer than that? Don't worry about it. He's wearing a shirt with his name on it. Hey, my name is Clarence, and I'm a human Wi-Fi. You want to, you know, want to email your girlfriend a picture of you and Kermit the Frog? Whatever. Whatever it is you do out there. You know? Whatever it is that you want to do. But the guys are out there, and it's $50 a day for 6 hours of work. Now, I can't help but break that down. We have to break that down. You're going to be working there. Let me clear this. Let me see. $50 times five, of course. That equals good old $250. And it's got to be tax-free. There's no way it could be anything other than tax-free. And if you're out there 7 days a week, what's that? I don't even know how much it is. It's got to be another, what? What's 5 days? 2 more days? That's $350. It's got to be good money. $350, 7 days a week, tax-free. off the bat, what kind of moron doesn't do that? What kind of moron wouldn't do that? This is easy money. I just got to stand around, and what do? I can converse with a couple of people just hanging out. I'm just chilling, getting paid. Actually, we will talk about that, JC. Got a caller on the line. The number's again, 347-308-8701. Tell your friends. I will get into that. Send me some details about the story, JC, so we can make sure we can cover that fully about that 17-year-old. We will get into that, so stay on the line. We'll definitely get to you in a minute. But I want to make sure that I got into that story. For me, it's just one of those things that baffles the crap out of me. That people won't look at the most important factor of the story, and that is people with jobs. Now, this one I have to bring up, ladies and gentlemen. I know you love your boy Barack Obama. I know you love him. But the birth certificates are fake. I'm sorry to say it, the birth certificate is a fake. Now, I'm gonna get somebody on the line. If you humor me for a little bit, I have to get this gentleman on the line. And he's a good friend of mine. I have to get him on the phone because it's extremely important that I talk to him because he's a huge Barack Obama supporter. No, not Kool-Aid Man. Not Kool-Aid Man. This is my good friend Derek. He can't stand anybody to talk about his Barack Obama. He can't stand it. And if you talk about him in any particular way, he gets furious. It doesn't matter what the report is. He can't come to reason with anything that's said foul about his favorite president. Also, he's a Clinton lover as well. Let's get him on the phone to see if we can get him. Let's get him to see if we can talk about this. Let that ring for a little bit.
Hello.
Hey, Derek, it's Reese on the radio, your good friend. I want to talk to you on the air for a little bit if you've got some time. Are you available?
Yeah, sure, no problem.
You sure you're all right? Okay, this is our good friend, Derek. He's practically the blood brother of our Kool-Aid man, our resident Kool-Aid man, James Montgomery. Derek, I want to play some audio for you, and I want to get your response. But whatever you do, don't curse, because I know you. When you hear this audio, you're going to lose it, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
All right, this is from Channel 5 News out in Arizona, okay? Here's the audio.
Oh, my God. Nobody wanted this. You know, nobody wants to think this is happening, you know, in your country.
Lead investigator Michael Zullo claims the group didn't set out to take down the president.
Our goal in the beginning was to prove this document authentic. The problem is the evidence kept taking us somewhere else.
He says it took 6 months and 2,200 hours to come to the conclusion that President Obama's birth certificate from Hawaii, released by the White House last April, was manufactured.
It never was a paper document. It was literally created in the mind of a computer and resides on cyberspace.
The White House responded today by pointing to the president's comments last year regarding the same issue.
We're not going to be able to solve our problems if we get distracted by sideshows and carnival barkers.
This is your face, your reputation, your name in the front of this investigation. How comfortable are you making these allegations?
I'm very comfortable because we did seek the advice of experts regarding this. You can build the document. We could take the document apart out of the same file released by the White House. You can't do that if you just scan in a birth certificate or any other document.
What do you say to the naysayers? And there are a lot of critics out there saying this is all, you know, a bunch of BS.
Prove it. We did.
Now listen, Derek, before you respond, what they did was, after all of this investigation, what they did was, you know what the White House did? The White House scanned his birth certificate, a color scan, and put it on the whitehouse.gov's website. What they were able to do was actually remove pieces of the website on the computer. If it's a scanned document, you can't remove anything from a scanned document, not pieces. In other words, where a signature was or the seal was, you were actually able to tap onto a computer by using a particular Edit Pro and pull certain things off the computer. In other words, it's a generated computer document, not a scan. Like if I scanned your birth certificate and put it on a computer, you couldn't move any piece from it because it's a scanned document. Now, if this was a scanned document, why were they able to pull pieces apart from a document that's supposed to be legitimate?
Listen, my whole thing is this, right? Why would a state government, right, be involved in this giant conspiracy to give this man, a birthplace so that he become our first black president? I mean, you know, why would a state government be, you know, what is their benefit to, be involved in a conspiracy to make Barack Obama a citizen?
But what I'm asking you is if there's no truth to it, why was this document, why was the ability to pull apart this document piece by piece if it's just a scanned document? In other words, there should be nothing you should be able to pull independently from the document. You can't pull a signature off. You can't pull a seal off. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like on your computer screen, you break down the computer screen and you take an Edit Pro and you find out if there's anything on the document that you can pull apart. Can you move the word, his mother's name? Can you move Stanley's name off? Can you move Barack's name off? They were able to do it. It's a scanned document. You can't do that unless it's a manufactured, computer-composed document. You understand what I'm saying? It's impossible. Logistically and computerized, it's impossible to do if you're just scanning a regular document. Imagine somebody had taken a picture of you. If I were to take a picture of you and let's say I remove your head and replace it with Jamie's head, I could do that in Photoshop. I know it would be horrible. But I could do that in Photoshop and remove the what's name. But only way I could do that is if I trace around your head and then move it out with a Photoshop document. You can't do that with a scanned document. A scanned document is impossible to do. So wait.
I know. Yeah.
So if they did it, don't you think they need to come clean?
Look, like I said, you know, I'm just treating this thing like, you know, the Roswell incident, you know, or I mean, like I said, seriously, you know, I just don't understand. After all this whole thing that has gone down, you know, and I keep coming back to myself, you know, why would the state of Hawaii, you know, be so involved in this lie?
You make
you know
it sound
mean?
Like there's
what is to their benefit? I mean, they really wanted to be, look, we're the state that's going to produce the first
president. Derek, what's riding on this, man? What's riding on this? The presidency of the United States is riding on this. Are you kidding me by saying that nobody would go through certain lengths to pull
you know
off? Come on.
To be honest with you, you know, yesterday I had a discussion with somebody about, you know, the whole 9/11 thing, and you know they always talk about the 9/11 conspiracy and
right, the truth,
you know, and then you know they talked about the money issue, you know, and you fold up the money like a paper plane, you
yes,
know, you get
yes,
the whole
yes,
sequence.
Yes, 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 yes.
All right, so if you know they, if you know whoever if 9/11 wasn't really, you know, perpetrated by Osama and the boys, and you know,
it
this whole
like a rock band.
You know, well, and then, you know, then it thing was a real government conspiracy with the, you know, and they make a joke out of it, you know, putting it on all of our money, you know, all the faces of our money. You know, what can I do about it? You know, if they really, look, as far as I know, this man was born in Hawaii and they have this birth certificate saying the man was born in Hawaii. What can I do about it? You know, it's just like people sitting over here talking about, you know, the big, you know, government conspiracy, talking about, you know, such and such, you know, what the Skull and Bones or whoever it is they say control of the government. What can I do about it? You know? What can I do about it? They tell us this man was born in Hawaii. They showed a birth certificate saying the man was born in Hawaii. There's nothing I can do about it, man. As far as I know, he was born
nothing.
In Hawaii.
Yeah, okay, all right. So forget about it. You're just going to believe what it is you believe. Fine. I'll let you go, Derek. I knew I was going to get
it. What can I do with it, you know? I'm like Sam Jackson. I voted for him because he's black. Did y'all hear y'all listeners? I voted for him because he was black.
Thank you, Derek. Thank you for allowing us to speak to this.
Hey, I would have voted for Colin Powell too.
Bye.
Later.
Okay, that's my good friend Derek. I've known him for. Is he still? He sounds just like Kool Aid Man, doesn't he, JC?
Yeah, he does. It's almost scary.
Yeah, it's almost scary. There are people out there who really, really. It's disgusting. This is.
Hello, this is Calandra, not your mother, Anna Bomber. And guess what, people? I love President Obama. Yes, I do. I love President Obama. And guess what? I voted for him. Do you want to know why I voted for him? Do you want to know why? Because he's black. He black. Yes, I said it. Yeah, I voted for him because he was black. Yeah.
So that's Derek. And this is all of his ilk. It's
wow.
Absolutely pathetic. But that's
I missed most of the story. I was just talking to one of the gentlemen. Actually, the gentleman that's on hold.
Okay,
but
we're
cool
going to get. We're going to get this second. We're definitely going to cover that story when we come back. So stick around for a break. We'll take a couple of minutes off, and when we come back, we'll talk about the 17-year-old that was killed, fortunately, because Skittles were mistaken for a weapon when we return. It's Reese on the Radio.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion.
but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem. You deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby, twinkle, twinkle.
Reese on the Radio, we are back. It's March the 13th, 2012, this Tuesday. The number is 347-308-8701. Plenty of news stories to get into. This one was actually a story that I actually read earlier in the week. And look, policing should be always left to the police. And the police should always be scrutinized because, in essence, that is our job to do as citizens. The police are there to protect and serve. And they have to understand that their job, what they are servants to the people. They are here to protect us and to serve us. They're not out to enforce laws as much as it is for them to protect others from harm or wrongdoing. Now, you can equate that to anything it is that you want, but let me tell you what it's supposed to be. Police officers are there to, if they witness crime happening, to stop, to intervene, to ensure the safety of the community. That's your job, bottom line. Now, private security, on the other hand, doesn't necessarily follow that mantra, and let me explain to you why they don't. Because they would probably say that what it is that they have to monitor, they're putting too many eggs in their basket. And in this particular case, they have to. They have to put too many eggs in their basket. Private security, especially in gated communities, they must put as many eggs into their basket that they must. And there's a reason for that. You see, unfortunately, because of the world that we live in, I have a child from a previous marriage who may come and visit me. And I'm living in a gated community. as they come into my home and my gated community, and I got private security, which I clearly pay for. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, my kid decides, hey, Dad, I'm going out to go grab something to eat. Okay, kid, be careful. I'll see you in a little bit. We'll come and watch the game. Kid goes out, gets inside, tells me, says, you know, Dad, I just got harassed by the police officers because they didn't know I lived here. They didn't know that I was your son. I was like, oh, you know, that's right. You know, it's a gated community. If they see anyone that they don't recognize, they'll probably stop you. Just, you know, they're just trying to protect the neighborhood. But when it turns into something like this, this is where it becomes very, very tragic. Sorry, guys, didn't mean to have to cut you off. Pardon me right there. But when something like this happens, it becomes extremely tragic. Now, the parents of a Florida teen are demanding that a neighborhood watch captain be arrested after their 17-year-old son was gunned down in February, possibly because his bag of Skittles was mistaken for a weapon. The retreat at Twin Lakes neighborhood, which leader George Zimmerman had called police to report Trayvon Martin as a suspicious person. But by the time the police arrived, the young man was already dead. Now, according to NBC Miami, police said Martin had been returning from a local store with Skittles and an iced tea. One person said, quote, I think it's just profiling. I think it has something to do with the fact that he was a young, black, African-American kid. And that was Sabrina Fulton, the teen's mother. I don't know why he became suspicious. They say Zimmerman claimed he had been forced to shoot Martin in self-defense. Zimmerman didn't have to get out of his car, according to the lawyer, Ben Crump. He explained at a press conference last week, if he never gets out of his car, there's no reason for self-defense. Trayvon only has Skittles. He has the gun. Which, again, this goes into another subject, and I'll get into that in a second. Sanford Police Chief Bill Lee said on Monday that an arrest had not been made and there was no evidence to contradict Zimmerman's version of events. The case is expected to be turned over to the state attorney's office for further consideration today. Now, the breakdown is as simple as this. Now, I have a gun in a neighborhood watch program. Not a cop. I'm an armed security guard. Which probably means, in the grand scheme of things, I'm a stone-cold punk with a heart of rubber. I'm scared to death. Apparently, we've lost our caller. We probably will call back. But the bottom line is that he was scared. He was frightened. He saw the young man reach for something. He says, all I've got is some bow! Skittles. And he's dead. That's all it took. All I've got is some Skittles. And the young man is dead. How is that possible in this day and age? How could that have possibly happened in this day and age? It's very simple. Because somebody who is a night watchman on a neighborhood watch
had a call for 17-year-old Trayvon Martin on the steps of the Antioch Baptist Church in Miami Gardens.
Not only did I lose a son, I lost a dear friend.
I'm hoping that one day, he's going to walk through the door, and this is going to be a nightmare.
The last 2 weeks have been a living nightmare. The Miami teen went up to Sanford near Orlando to visit his father and stepmom, but never made it home. Trayvon took a walk to a nearby convenience store to pick up snacks. On his way back to this gated community where his stepmom lived, He was spotted by the neighborhood watch captain, George Zimmerman. According to a partial police report, Zimmerman called 911 to report a suspicious person, Trayvon.
One of the recommendations from the dispatcher, the call taker, was asking him to wait until we got there.
When police arrived, Trayvon was lying on the ground face down. He could not be revived. Zimmerman had a bloody nose.
George Michael Zimmerman had a 9mm gun. Trayvon Martin had a bag of Skittles. How can he claim self-defense?
I think it's just profiling. I think that it has something to do with the fact that he was a young black African-American kid. I don't know why he became suspicious.
Zimmerman wasn't arrested.
The police lied to this family and told them he was squeaky clean, and that was one of the reasons why they weren't arresting George Michael Zimmerman.
But Zimmerman does have a record charged with resisting arrest with violence and battery against an officer in Orange County.
We need justice, and we need justice. We not only are we looking for an arrest, we're looking for a conviction.
So there's your story. Sadly enough, the young man struck down by a coward. There's no other way to put it. That's the whole deal. So, JC, we lost our caller who brought attention to this story. Did he call you a bad name?
No. No. I'm thinking that you will after reading what I had put in the notes there.
Oh, well.
I assume that is what you would call me.
No, not at all. Don't worry about it. Why wouldn't he stay on?
I'm not sure.
Okay, all right. He's probably somebody who's just running all over the internet looking at a whole bunch of shows. That's fine. As long as he checked this out, we appreciate it. Number 347-8701. So again, the story is, young man ends up dead, 17 years old, over some Skittles. It's embarrassing, it's sad, it's pathetic. But we shall transgress. Anyway, here's another story, JC, you are going to love.
Run it.
Researchers from Oxford University in England released a new study in the International Medical Journal. It says that psychopharmacology. Okay, that's the name of the magazine. It's a journal called the International Medical Journal Psychopharmacology, showing that taking propranolol. I have to make sure I'm saying that right. P-R-O-P-R-A-N-O-L-O-L. Propanolol. Apparently, it reduces implicit negative racial bias. Implicit racial bias can occur even in people with sincere belief in equality. This is according to Dr. Sylvia Turnbeck, author of the study. She told the Daily Telegraph, given the key role that such an implicit attitude appear to play in discrimination against other ethnic groups and the widespread use of propranolol. Look at that right there. That's P-R-O-P-R-A-N, propranolol.
Propranolol.
Okay. Yeah, for medical purposes. Our findings are also of considerable interest. They're saying that this is a heart medication. This is a medication that people will take for heart disease, and it will reduce their racism.
What? I think my mom takes that.
No.
I do. I think she
does. Does
she? I think
so. We need to find out.
What does it do for the heart?
I don't know. We'll find out.
Slow the heart down?
I think I once took this for hypertension.
You took it for hypertension, you say?
I believe so.
Wow. Well, according to this, they said they did a test on 36 white people. Half of them were getting propranolol, and the other were getting a placebo. Researchers then used a feeling thermometer. What? to rate how warm they felt toward different groups. Researchers found that the heart disease drug significantly lowered their heart rate. They also found that there's no significant difference between the propranolol and placebo groups toward religious or sexual preference. So they didn't use it for that, but they used it for race. The main finding of our study is that propranolol significantly reduced implicit but not explicit racial bias. Researchers concluded this, as they're saying. Scientists behind the study call for further examination whether this positive effect could work in clinical treatment. There's a racism drug, ladies and gentlemen. A racism drug. This is the scariest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Entire. I don't think I've ever seen anything this insane. When we get back, we'll cover some of we get into the day. Hey, not too much on this.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the radio.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Hello, Lois. This is Mike. I'm the personnel director here at your husband's work.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you?
Fine.
Lois, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Well, I have some bad news.
What do you mean bad news? Bob's okay, isn't he?
Well, actually, that's why I called to talk to you. It's about Bob, and I know that he's been an employee here for a very long time, but I'm afraid we're going to have to let Bob go.
And what do you mean? Wait, that's not very fair. He's been very loyal to you.
Look, I can understand you feeling that way.
Feeling that way? You don't understand. We just had a baby.
No, I understand that.
This is a very hard time to do this kind of a thing.
Yes, it is, but Bob has kind of forced our hand on this.
Why are you firing him?
We caught him doing his secretary on his office desk.
Oh, that son of a bitch!
Look, I know you're upset.
Upset is not the word. That stupid, rotten son of a bitch. I can't believe this.
He's on his way home right now, and he's going to need your support.
Support my I'm going to change the locks on the door. I'm throwing his shit outside on the front lawn. He can just have it all. I'm not even going to be here when he gets back. And now, I don't feel so bad about his brother.
Lois. It's a joke. Your husband put us up. It's your birthday.
Happy birthday!
This is Stephen Hawking, and when I'm not solving the mysteries of the world, I listen to Reese on the radio on dogtalkradio.com.
Reese on the radio, and we are back live on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the radio. 49 minutes after the hour on Reese on the radio. And there's a story that I've been talking about in the news. Now, everybody remembers all of last week and the week before, there had been talk over and over and over again about how Barack Obama was getting a gimme with the whole Rush Limbaugh debacle, calling Sandra Fluck a slut and a prostitute. And there was allegedly a war on women being waged by the Republican Party. Now, with all of the controversy, with all the haranguing about how Rush Limbaugh was a de facto leader of the Republican Party, how Democrats need to take advantage of this, and talking and the war on women and the Republicans. Why is it that Barack Hussein Obama's approval rating dropped 9 points in a week?
Because the price of the gas.
Well,
why did
support amongst women drop?
Well, because they blasted everything else that has been happening with everything else that happened that other people may not have seen, the whole Bill Ayers thing. And, you know, all the other nasty negative comments that that other people, that liberals were saying about women. And Barack hasn't even bothered to talk about it. He just avoids it. And so does everybody else on his liberalist side.
Let me tell you the truth. Although you make a very strong point.
Let you tell me the truth.
Let me tell you what the truth is, though. But you make a very valid point. I agree with you wholeheartedly. You make your point. Your point shouldn't be disputed. Let me tell you why it shouldn't be. It's because there was so much other backlash, and people saw that and they didn't budge. But here's where the issue was. And you know who I saw it from?
Who?
I saw it from you.
Oh, okay.
You are the genesis of what it is that I'm about to say.
Oh, God.
No. This is a good thing. You are the genesis of what it is that I'm about to say and why it was so relevant to why it is that Barack Hussein Obama could not improve the women's vote. Gas prices was a big thing. But now I'm about to go extremely conservative on you. If you're in a household where a husband and wife lives, who takes care of the finances in the home, generally?
Generally, the man does.
No. He probably makes the money. But
oh,
who,
what you mean?
The
like,
bill paying.
The bill paying, the woman.
The woman, right? That's in a traditional home. Who takes care of it in a single family home?
The woman.
There you go. And the economy is what? Straight up crap, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so the people who are feeling it in their purses are who?
Women.
Generally. Right?
Yeah.
So women aren't concerned with whether or not there's a war on women about contraception. What they're worried about is when they go fill up the minivan, taking kids out to soccer practice and to ballet lessons. Right?
I would assume. I don't know. I don't have a minivan taking anyone to soccer.
But the average American does. Right?
Okay.
All right? And what about Mama Bear sitting at home, got nobody but her kids, ain't got a man in the house. She's got to work two jobs, take care of her little whippersnappers. She doesn't care whether or not she can get contraception for free, because she knows how to get her contraception. And if she's got two kids and is working three jobs, not only does she not have time to have sex, she damn sure don't want no more whippersnappers. So that's why Homie B Money Slice Grip's approval rating is plummeting. So the war on women is being not waged by the Republican Party. It's being waged by Barack Hussein Obama.
But how did you get that from me? How did you come
I up saw with you that? Pumping gas the other day.
Oh.
I and saw you how you reacted. I saw how you reacted when you saw the price. You drove past the gas station like, God damn.
$3.77?
That's exactly what you said. $3.77? And it dawned on me right then and there. You don't care about that issue. You're not worried about contraception.
No, because I can go buy myself a box of condoms, or I can go to Planned Parenthood or to the health department or to Kaiser, or I can go and get contraception anywhere.
Manufactured bullcrap by the Democrats calling this a war on women using Rush Limbaugh as the scapegoat, and it's done nothing but have his approval rating plummet. He's at 41% approval.
And most insurance companies, 9 out of 10 insurance companies already cover that anyway. So what are you fighting?
Nothing. It's a manufactured beef.
Because the Catholics or certain religious groups don't want to have that in one of their the outline of the health insurance that they offer their employees. Who cares?
How come the Muslims aren't being forced?
Because only the Catholics can be beat up on.
Well, I mean, Muslims, don't they have churches or?
They have synagogues.
Yeah.
I mean, not they have mosques.
Mosques, right? Don't they give health care at the mosque?
I don't know if they give health care.
Isn't there like a mosque hospital?
I don't think
like
so.
Like a Muslim hospital? There's got to be one.
I don't think so.
Maybe two?
No, I don't think so.
No Muslim hospital?
I don't think so.
How about a Buddhist hospital?
I don't think so.
Oh, they usually do holistic stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else?
No.
Any other group? Sikhs? Sikhs don't have their own hospital?
Sikh.
The Jews. I think the Jews do. And they're going to mandate the Jews do it too.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
The Jews ain't having it.
Well, you know they're not having it.
Only the Catholics are.
Put 3 on the list, so it should be any day.
So, Mr. Montgomery, Kool-Aid Man. Kool-Aid Man. He's not even
Kool-Aid.
We'll call him later. So what do you think, JC? Approval rating down to 41%. It took George W. Bush 6 years to hit that low.
The country's fed up, period. I think they're fed up, not necessarily with him, but with I would say politics as usual overall. We just sat through 2 lame duck sessions of presidency where nothing's gotten done. We've been in a stalemate for the past 8 years.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I mean, people don't really know what to do and where to turn.
It's really, really bad. It's incredibly bad.
Yeah.
And you know what? They did a survey that asked people whether or not they were better off than they were 4 years ago. Do you know how many people said no, what the percentage was?
It's true, though.
It's like, were you better off?
Making less money 4 years ago, a significant amount of less money 4 years ago, and was not anywhere near.
But you're making better money now?
I'm making much better money. Yeah, I am making better money.
So you would probably...
Fortunately, my job has flourished.
Okay, well, great.
But though I'm making more money, it's costing me more money to live.
So the question is, are you better off than you were 4 years ago?
No.
No.
I was better off 4 years ago making less money.
Wow.
Do you want to know more money, more problems.
Do you know how many people agree with you?
Probably the majority.
80% said they were worse off now than they were 4 years ago.
I believe it.
80%. That is not winnable numbers. Montgomery, your retort, please.
I'm still trying to process all this right now. So go on. I'm getting my retort ready.
You won't have any time to. Hazel Jones is coming up in the next break.
Is she?
Well, she's not. The story is. We'll break into that when we come back. Because I know everyone...
Oh, I think it's just coming up in the next break.
What's coming up after the top of the hour?
Oh.
So,
okay.
We'll take a break when we come back, and then we'll talk about good old Hazel, who I hear now that we all love. So stick around. It's Reese on the Radio. We'll
love
be...
love her. And Hazel, if you're listening... I raised my hand when you did your interview and said, if any woman wants to see it, they can.
Yeah, you would.
I want to see it.
You're such a pervert.
Where the hell can I buy me a wig? I need to buy me a wig and a dress real quick. I don't want to see this.
I'll put a camera on my glasses.
Yeah. All right, we'll go to the top of the hour. Stick around.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
What's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times.
Then grab it.
Mary had a little lamb, it was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said
Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Reese.
With uterus didelphus, a medical condition which is thought to affect around 1 in 3,000 women. It means that she has two vaginas.
But Hazel's condition is even more complicated, making her 1 in a million. She's here to explain, along with Dr. Dawn Harper. And we read through this morning going, no, it is extraordinary. But for you, growing up, when you were little, you didn't spot it, and neither did
your
mum.
No, I didn't know I was any different whatsoever.
So as a little baby, changing nappies and things like that, you really cannot see this.
No, even now. I mean, I went through examinations as I was growing up because I had certain problems, and no one even saw it then.
Yeah.
It
was... But I guess in hindsight, when you look back, there were signs, weren't there?
Yes.
And the first time that you noticed any sort of problem ever was when your period started at the age of 14. That was not fun, was it? Because really, you were getting two separate...
We should explain before we get into that how you're built and how that works, because we've got Dawn, would you explain what this means?
Interestingly, when your uterus develops, when you're a baby in the womb, it starts as two tubes, and the normal thing to happen would be for those tubes to fuse, and then the septum breaks down and you form one uterus. What's happened with Hazel is that septum never broke down, and the two tubes have made two separate uteruses and two vaginas and two cervixes, which obviously has huge implications for you in terms of things like smear tests and so on.
Yeah.
And you mentioned 1 in 3,000. I think it is relatively common to still have a septum or a fibrous band within the uterus, or a slightly abnormal shape to the uterus. And that's the kind of thing that I might pick up on one of my patients who we might be doing an ultrasound, for example, for a completely unrelated problem, and it's just something that we find. To actually have two completely separate uteruses is much rarer, and
which is why we get into that moment of you're actually having, you could have two periods.
We always ovulate left and right alternatively, like all other women, but obviously if you don't know which side you're ovulating from and you didn't know that you had two sides, you can be...
You wouldn't understand why.
Sometimes you'd end up in a bit of a mess, and other times not.
Gosh, that age when you're just starting your period anyway, and it's all a bit confusing, it's all a bit messy, and it's all a bit horrid, it must have been terrible for you.
It wasn't nice. I mean, I had friends, I'd try and explain to them, having problems, and, you know, I'd say to them, they had no idea what I was doing wrong. They looked even more confused than
I did. Well, because you did ask one of your friends, didn't you? I'll get you to explain this, that you didn't, you were saying, well, which hole?
My more embarrassing story is when I actually did ask a friend. I said, do you have any problems working out which hole to put? And she thought I was putting them at my bottom.
Mm. Oh, which of course was not the case at all.
Nothing like that.
And very difficult for you then to go and broach someone else and talk to them about it.
I think I pretty much kept my mouth shut after that for quite a while.
So at what stage did you become alerted to this? Because you hadn't noticed, you had a look occasionally, you checked yourself, you went to the doctor because of your heavy periods.
I was 18 before I found out.
And it was a boyfriend that says...
Yeah, my first serious boyfriend, he said there was something different about me. I was trying to broach subjects, you know, doing my sex life, things like that, and he said, well, maybe there's something wrong with you.
Mm.
He said, I've always noticed there's this thing here, and I completely freaked out and went to go and check on it.
Sex hadn't been particularly pleasurable up to that point, because you have two vaginas.
I'd say that they're two very separate things. I think it's perception and immaturity on the other half's part.
But two hymen to break.
Yes.
So you lost your virginity twice.
Yes. Yeah,
which that in itself is going to be uncomfortable. And what
definitely.
About sex itself? Was that uncomfortable if you didn't quite
get
the
if you're not
right?
aware that you've got this, it can be really uncomfortable, because I thought I was having cystitis, I thought I was having urine infections from a young age, when I actually wasn't. I was tearing the middle septum.
Because
if you're not aware about it, I mean, it's not a problem now. I have no problems. It hasn't happened
for
years.
Because so you know how to deal with it and cope with it.
Yeah, everything is perception.
So when your boyfriend has told you about this, and you've then run into the bathroom, shut the door, got a mirror and had a look, and realised you've rung your mum straight away, haven't you? And it was your auntie who works at the hospital and got you an appointment with a gynaecologist straight away.
Yeah.
And of course, they've done an ultrasound.
They did all the tests, and they told me within a couple of hours what what it was, but the lady had such a heavy accent, I still didn't understand what she was telling me, and I just sat there and waiting with these notes going, no idea what I've just been told.
And it's a big thing to be told, because it's unusual. And, it's, and also, one of those subjects is slightly embarrassing, because you think, oh gosh, who can I talk to this about?
Yeah, I can't just say I wasn't. As soon as I found out what it was, I told everybody. I thought it was amazing. it's definitely an icebreaker at parties.
Yeah. you've shown your friends. You.
Definitely. If women want to have a look, I'm quite happy to show them. Yeah. It's not something I'm embarrassed by.
It does have implications, doesn't it, as far as getting pregnant is concerned?
Yes.
And so what are the issues there?
I'm told that if I get pregnant, that I've got to be very aware that I don't get pregnant again in the other side.
Yes.
Because you can have pregnancies that are, you know, months apart. You have to be really careful, because...
Gosh.
Yeah, it means there's an increased risk of giving a breech burst. I've been told that. There's... risk while bleeding while, you know, pregnant. That can basically, I've got to be taking
very
a lot better care.
But you could also, you could, I suppose, be pregnant quite a way down the line.
Yeah.
And have sex and get pregnant
That's right.
A younger baby.
Yes, there are other issues in that the hormones of pregnancy would make that less likely.
Yeah.
But one of the big problems is that because you've effectively got a smaller cavity, and obviously the uterus is designed to expand to accommodate the baby, you were talking about breech birth, but actually you can have all sorts of different lies of the baby. So sometimes they'll be lying slightly on their side or crossways, and so the chances of someone like you needing a cesarean section to deliver a baby would be much higher. What about, you were offered sort of surgery, weren't you?
Initially I was. They offered to remove the septum, the dividing septum from the cervix, the entrance, and I refused to have the surgery.
And the reason for that was there was sort of, I don't know what
they have to kind of treat you like they would like a post-op transsexual, because if you have something removed from an area like that, there's a risk of healing back together. So
it's like almost like a scar tissue type thing.
You have
up.
To have it separated all the time, and it can be very uncomfortable and causes scar tissue there anyway. So I was like,
and like you said, for you, this is something that is just so normal now, and you know how to.
If I had three wishes, it wouldn't be on the list of things to change.
No.
And hysterectomy is not an issue for the second uterus.
Until I have children, I don't see a point.
Technically, that would be very difficult.
Yeah.
Because they're sort of, so we don't tend to do that.
Yeah.
What we do sometimes do is open up so that you've got the one cavity, but you'd probably still be left with your two cervixes, and I think that's an issue for your smear tests and so on.
Yeah.
It's important that when somebody takes a smear, that they take from both, because you could be given the all clear in one cervix.
And you're terribly honest about this, so I'm going to ask you now, as far as your relationships, and you've got your long-standing boyfriend now, do you have to be careful? Is it sore? Is it painful?
No, not at all. I mean, I've never entered into a relationship without explaining the difference about me anyway. Never had a bad reaction for it either. But yeah, as long as they're aware of what it is, there's no issues whatsoever. I have a great sex life now.
Well, a choice.
Well, yes.
Thank you very much indeed. I think it's so important, because there will be people who will be watching and who may be in the early.
Now there you have it, Miss Hazel Jones. Her entire interview with an English TV show, I think it's called IV, talking about her condition where she's stricken.
She never says that she's a wall, but she doesn't use it in that term.
I do. She's stricken.
She's quite happy about it.
She's stricken with two vaginas. Yes, exactly. Double boying.
And if that's all you got, you might as well stay home.
Bottom line is that we know that, because we've known this story so far all weekend, and we promised we were going to talk about it today. I know everybody's got opinions. Everybody's got jokes. But she doesn't think that this is a problem. I'm sorry, guys. I think this is a problem.
What the heck?
James, do you have a problem with this?
I have no problem with it at all.
Well,
I don't know what man would.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, I mean, think about it. It's like your fantasy come true. You know,
what?
I don't know.
We're all shooting the point.
Yeah, but see, the bottom line is that now she has two menstrual cycles.
Okay? I can't hear you. You're breaking up.
I said now she has two menstrual cycles.
Yeah, that's the only drawback I saw about that.
Yeah, that's right. You know what PMS stands for, right?
Yeah.
Prepare to meet Satan. And that is not a good deal. Once you get her on one, that's fine. But now she's going to come back and do it a second one, and you don't know when it is?
Have you seen this woman?
But, yeah, she's beautiful. So
she gives you that. She gives you that Sandy from Greece feel.
Sandy from Greece feel. You are too funny.
When Sandy was, you know, was dainty right before she got real hot with the big stiff hair.
Who's this?
Sandy
from Greece. Olivia Newton-John from the 70s.
And she was all dainty and so perfect before the girls got made her up,
her up
did all that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They made her into a pink girl.
Right. What about it?
That's what he's saying.
That's what she reminds me
that
of.
Hazel reminds.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's more gorgeous.
Well, she is. She's very attractive. Yeah, look, I think what she has as a boyfriend is a freak. You know, of course he doesn't complain because he thinks this is cool.
But that first boyfriend that freaked her out. I would have been freaked out,
too. Of course he was freaked out. You know, this gives a whole new meaning to A Little More on the Left, Honey.
I'm still sticking with my Grease story. Tell me about it, stud. You gotta say it twice because he's got two. But wow, this is something.
You know, if you can bring her, then you're like king. There's nothing anyone can tell you.
Hello.
Can she have multiple orgasms?
Of course she can.
At the same time.
James, are you with us?
Simultaneous.
What do you mean? Can she have...
James, you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you.
She has, like that.
That's
can
one.
Can she have simultaneous?
Yeah.
Just so you don't think. My question is, can she give birth normally?
Yes, she can. That's what they said in the interview, is that if she's pregnant on one side, her uterus, then she has to be careful not to get pregnant on the other side.
So she got two kids. Oh, my gosh. And she has two menstrual cycles.
Yeah, but listen, does she have two holes?
Yes.
But no, she doesn't. She has one. She has
one
two.
Hole with two pockets, or a fork in the road.
Was she like a
fork in the road?
Was she a pair of jeans? Yes, that's the perfect one. She has a fork in the road.
So you can't even really see anything if you looked at it. You would have to actually do like.
He had to be really up close and personal.
Well, he could probably feel it on the inside. He could probably feel that when he was inside of her.
No, so he...
Go on.
Don't you think that you'd be able to feel that?
I would.
I'm talking to my auntie about this. I feel like I'm talking to my auntie about it.
In and of itself, it's sick.
Yeah.
She's a circus freak, whether you like it or not.
She's not a circus freak.
Sure she is.
No, she's not.
Sure she is, bearded lady.
If she wants to make money, she would learn how to, instead of beatbox, queefbox.
Oh,
that's
my
just
God.
Nasty. Absolutely pathetic. James, volume, Brown, are you in a car?
Yeah.
And that would explain it.
Oh, okay.
You're not driving to Hazel, are you?
No. I'm not driving. I'm actually not driving.
Wish whoever would be to Hazel.
You could just go so many different ways with this story. It's like,
yes, you can go two ways. Two different ways, apparently.
She should do
How do you want to, like...
She do a double mingle first.
Thank God.
I mean, when you think about it, look how many people have had these conjoined twins that they had that were inside of them.
Well, yes. Again, this is right back at my point about being a circus freak. Let's ask the resident woman. Mary, would you wish you had two?
I can't say that I wish I would have two. I can't say that. Because I'm happy with one. I mean, I'm great. But if I had two and it was like Hazel says hers two are, I probably wouldn't mind. I mean, obviously she's having a very good time. She makes that very obvious. Like, this is not a problem. I would not get it. I would never, now that I know what it is, it's
not
double
probably
pressure.
In the interview, but as soon as she goes home and people look at her when she walks down the street and she gets up in the apartment, she probably gets up there, cries, curses her church, and asks, why did God do this to her?
Yeah, I believe that too. I'm sure she can talk all that junk about how she's made peace with it. And, I mean, yeah, you are what you are, and that's fine. But, you know, I'm sorry. You know, this is...
It's not that big of a deal.
This
I
is
mean,
like,
it's kind of amazing, but it's not like that big of a... Who's going to see that? It's not like she's got two faces.
Now she does. Now she does. I mean, what if she has a split...
Too bad you didn't get two clitoris.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. What if she has, like, a
that
split...
That would have been...
Don't let's just... Oh, no. Oh, I know.
Split personality.
And what if the other one decided it wanted to be a man when she was young and she'd be a hermaphrodite?
That would
she technically she says she's just like a hermaphrodite. She
no,
says
she doesn't.
Yes, she does.
She never says that.
What does she say? She says it's just like being transgender.
It's like the operation is just like being is very similar to what the same operation a transgender would get because you run the risk of it healing and coming back and it would be very painful and so on. She's not a freaking hermaphrodite. Don't say that. Come on now.
What? Well, you make it sound like hermaphrodite's a bad word.
Yeah, what's wrong with hermaphrodites? What's wrong with you? You got something against hermaphrodites?
I'm not saying that I personally have anything wrong.
Or my dearly departed aunt calls them mochadites.
Mochadites. Oh, my God.
Well, the part that scares me about this whole deal is what if the boyfriend decides... You know, he doesn't want to do it from the left anymore, if you get my meaning.
So then you get pleasure in the right.
Yeah, but what if she likes it on the left?
Yeah, but obviously she likes it in both. To the left and the right.
Does she know the money she could make in porn?
Yeah, I know. Look, I said this weekend when
who
James...
Who are you talking about, her or me?
Well, her.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
James brought this up to me over the weekend, the first thing that ran through my mind is, knowing her being a woman, I'll put any amount of money on it, that even with two vaginas, if he pays attention to one, she still gets jealous. I mean, that's definitely going to happen. She's probably never, ever going to be pleased. That's the worst part. It's that you're never going to be pleased.
No, because they do now make them.
She looks like
they do now make them two-headed.
Say again?
They make them two-headed.
Oh, that's... Oh, good.
I mean, it's the truth.
I wonder if you could just get, like, a piece, though, to stick on the top. Like...
A what?
Like you could...
What?
Okay, you know how they have I don't know if I can say this on radio, but they have C rings, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Right? That's C rings. Yes.
Okay.
We know
some of them
about.
Vibrate.
Yeah,
know,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I wonder if they would have something where you would have like a contraption, like not that it's a contraption, a C ring, and then have just like
something attached to
something
it.
Something attached to it that's just like the.
To simulate that you had two,
without having to have the full complete thing, like riding in one of those motorcycles that has a little sidecar.
And answer your question, Reese.
Yeah.
If she likes it on the left, all she got to do is get her a little plug and say under construction.
Oh my God.
Under construction? Is that what you said?
Yeah. under renovation.
If she only has one pocket and two holes, you're not right.
Yes,
she's a crooked game of pool. She's a crooked game of pool.
This is just going in the wrong direction.
But okay, if, wait.
Have her do a split. Have her do a split. Get your golf ball and a putter.
Just six. Go on. What are you saying, Mary?
Forget it.
I think we're done with this.
No, I love this.
Well, we're so dumb.
Okay, so I love you, honey.
Yeah, of course you do.
I admire you. And if you're out there and you want to show it, I will look at it.
She sounds tragic to
that
me.
That has nothing to do with, I'm not a lesbian. I'm straight as an arrow. I love men.
It sounds tragic, and I apologize that we even talked about it at this particular point. We'll take a break. We'll be back in 3 on the Radio.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Reese, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com.
That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Twenty-five minutes after the hour on Reese on the Radio this Tuesday, March 13, 2012. Sad story today for football fans. Well, any football fan for that matter. I've made this argument over and over and over and over and over again, and it doesn't matter how many times I say it, people just don't listen. Why? I'll never. Listen. When you work for anybody, when you are in the business of selling something, what you should never, ever do is ever become partisan in anything, a social debate, politics, or politics of anything. You should never, ever be partisan. Stay out of it. Now, if you looked at somebody like Peyton Manning, looked at somebody like Eli Manning, looked at somebody like Drew Brees, looked at somebody like Tom Brady, any one of those guys that I just mentioned, which one could you guess is a conservative? You'd never know, right?
I don't know.
You have no clue. I know one is.
And I bet you that's Tom Brady.
Yes, it is. Tom Brady is a conservative. He is. No, I hate Tom Brady.
No, you like that I got that answer. Right?
No, I mean, yeah, it's great that you got it. But yes, Tom Brady is a conservative. Now, when you put yourself out there on Front Street, that's where I personally believe you create a problem for yourself. Because those who don't like your politics will immediately scrutinize you for reasons that they have no reason. But you put yourself out there. Yeah. And when I saw this, I didn't even know how to respond. So let me play it for you. And then you can tell me what it is that you think. Here it is right here. This ad was featured today.
I'm pleased with where we are now. The president has done so much. Healthcare, end of the Iraq war, new jobs. But it's not about where we are now. It's about our future. And that's what I'm excited about. You have to be patient and kind of look into the future. And our future is looking bright because I trust a man that will be leading us in the future. And that man is Barack Obama. I have the president's back. And it's left up to us as African Americans to show that we have his back also. Join African Americans for President Obama today.
And there you have it. Lovie Smith of the Chicago Bears football team doing an ad for African Americans for Barack Obama. Dumb idea?
Damn it, Lovie Smith. I liked you. I was a fan of yours.
Now, are you no longer a fan because you support Barack Obama? Are you not a fan of his?
No, it's not that I'm not a fan of his because he's supporting Barack Obama. I think that what he's doing is wrong. He should not be trying to push for black people, taking his place in the media, his place in the most famous sport ever,
and reaching out to other black people or anybody, especially just black people, to vote for Barack Obama. Give me a freaking break.
Yeah, and I think it marginalizes him as an individual. You know, he's on a team that has white players and Latino players, I'm sure, other ethnicities. He in no way needs to be partisan. We need to stand behind our president.
Yeah, just it takes time.
It's
Lovie Smith, give me a freaking break. Get over yourself.
Now, the reason why I want to also ask this, and JC, you're probably going to give the best opinion there is, because I've seen this before. You see, this would work better in a wrestling arena, right?
Absolutely.
And why does it work better in a wrestling arena? Because there you get to marginalize your audience.
Absolutely. You get to target your audience.
You're absolutely right. You get to target your audience, but in essence, if you're a bad guy...
Despite your demographic, you get to target your audience.
Yeah, exactly. But if you're a bad guy in wrestling, and do they still refer to them as bad guys and good guys? Is that like...
They're heels and faces. Baby faces and heels.
Really? What does that mean?
What?
If you're a baby face, you're a good guy. If you're a heel, like, you're a bad guy.
You're going to have to break that one down to me in
baby
a minute.
Baby face is a good guy.
Yeah, I don't understand why the termination. Why heel?
Well, they're using them now publicly, but they're insider terms.
Oh, okay,
the heel is the bad guy. Like, you know, on a cartoon, they're always the bad guy. On a cartoon, they have the heel.
Right. Okay. No, all right. I was just trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, let's say... You know, the audience doesn't like Mitt Romney, and the guy comes out there and talks about Mitt Romney or how Mitt Romney is going to be the greatest president ever, and the crowd boos because they know he's in Barack Obama, like they're in Chicago, and the bad guy comes out there and promotes Mitt Romney. The whole crowd will go nuts against the guy. Like, that, there it works. But Chicago, see, this is the part that I'm bothered by, because this is Barack Obama's hometown of Illinois. Lovie Smith being a coach of the Chicago Bears.
Probably black-populated state.
Yeah, and then doing this seems like I would think it was a dumb move, because it's like nobody wants to know your politics.
And did they seek him out?
Of course they did.
Like, they sought him out. That's so ridiculous.
You drew a good parable with the pro wrestling. It's like this, and it's so crazy. No. Because people, especially in Chicago,
right?
They so love this guy that you would get people who wouldn't normally vote otherwise. Vote for Barack Obama
just because
simply based on his race.
Yeah,
I mean they're being baited.
Is that necessarily a good thing though?
For the campaign, yeah.
No, I don't think.
So. Yeah, for the campaign, yeah. I mean, but if he's called on it, then no, it's not going to look good. It's not going to look good at all, because I mean, nowhere, especially when you're running for president. Running for the presidency, do you want to be? Do you want to bring race involved in it, especially after the last election? You don't want to make this a race issue, and
well,
he is.
They're making it a race issue, even though he got 95% of the African American vote. He's now given the illusion that for some odd reason his African American voter base is dwindling. That he's telling people to get behind the president because he sees those numbers dropping. That number's dropped from 95 to 85, I think 80% now, to 80%. He lost 15% of the base. What does he need that extra 15%? Why? Because he thinks that's going to swing him over? I don't think it's going to. We're looking
at a
guy.
No, he knows he has failed. He failed,
he
failed as a president.
And
well,
he knows that everybody else knows that, even his own people, or his so-called own people.
Yeah, but you know what? Lovie Smith, and if you think about what Lovie Smith says, and we'll play it again, what does Lovie Smith talk about? He doesn't talk about anything specific. Everything is general.
I'm pleased with where we are now. The president has done so much. Health care, end of the Iraq war, new jobs, but it's not about where we are now, it's about our future, and that's what I'm excited about. You have to be patient and kind of look into the future, and our future is looking bright because I trust the man that will be leading us in the future. And that.
But wait a minute, now hold on. Does he just contradict himself there? You didn't hear that?
What?
I heard a contradiction.
I'm pleased with where we are now. The president has done so much. Health care, end of the Iraq war, new jobs, but it's not about where we are now, it's about our future, and that's what I'm excited about. You have to be patient and kind of look into the future, and our future is looking bright because I trust the man that will be leading us in the future, and that man is Barack Obama. I have the president's back, and it's left up to us as African Americans to show that we have his back also. Join African Americans for President Obama today.
Forgive me, but how can you say in one verse you're happy with where we are today and then say we have to be patient? About what? You're happy with where we are. We have to be patient about being happy about where we are?
If you're happy where we are, why are you so concerned about our future?
Look at all that Goya behind her. She's pushing that. I'm sorry. I'm watching something on the O'Reilly Factor, and I can't hear it, but I'm looking at it, and Michelle Obama is getting on my nerves because I know she's saying something stupid, and I can't hear it.
Yeah, don't worry, we'll watch it later. Anyway, I just found that very, very odd that Lovie Smith wants to be a part of that. I'm going to check and see if there are any African Americans who are doing...
Well, I mean, what is that? It's left up to us. It's left up to us to do what?
It's left up for us to make sure he gets. It's African American.
Yeah,
that's what he means. Us. So he's not
separating.
He's not
yourself,
mincing. Yes, exactly.
From everyone
he's
else.
He's not mincing
because
any
it doesn't
words.
Doesn't matter whether he's good for the country or not. He's good for the black folks.
Again, he is not mincing words at all. About
it's just so I've never seen a there's never ever been a president that said. White people, come vote me.
You, of course. And
I mean,
again,
what is, you would never see a Caucasian president go up there, or a possible GOP candidate go up there and say, "Whiteies, I need."
Well, statistically, he's never had to.
And vote
because he would. I mean, whoever threatened
well,
the presidency
president,
of the United States. In
hold
terms
on, hold
of
on.
Race,
hold on.
Except for Jesse Jackson, who failed miserably back in the 80s.
Okay, but I understand where you're coming from, JC.
I mean, you don't. I mean, in the past, you don't race a white man for the presidency of the United States and still say, "Whitey, come on out."
Oh, so if you're white, it's just known that white folks are gonna vote for you.
If you don't believe that, then you're wrong. Then you're delusional.
No, JC.
Yes, Mary.
No, I beg to differ.
The problem with this is go ahead.
It drives me nuts. No, it drives me nuts to I don't know. I especially lately, I run into a lot of people. And talking in general, not just you, Mary, or you guys, who seem to believe that racism doesn't exist in this country, we're talking old fashioned racism.
What do you mean by old fashioned racism?
Let's say that the 60s aren't quite gone. They all haven't
then
died out
what?
Yet.
I say you get your ass out of there.
Well,
if you're living in some backwoods place, there's so many other places in this country to live. Get out of there. You think I don't know that happens in Alabama? My sister lives in Alabama. When I lived there for about 9 months.
In New York City it happens. In Hartford
Yeah, but it happens more in the South, I would think.
it's more prevalent in the South than it is anywhere. Black people didn't want white people. Black people didn't want white people. You know, they didn't. Black mothers and fathers didn't want white people for their sons or daughters to date outside of their race. White people didn't want for their sons or daughters to date outside of their race. Everything was it was a problem with everybody.
This is Questlove from The Roots.
Oh, no, he didn't. Damn.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Adair Questlove Thompson. When I started supporting Barack Obama in 2008, he promised to bring real change and hope to our country and community as a whole. This is not a quick fix. It's not like you can take a wand and just make magic overnight. We need to take years to finish the commission. We need to have his back. If you haven't yet, you really need to get involved. Go to AfricanAmerican.BarackObama.com and sign up. Then follow all the action on Twitter using the hashtag AFM2012. Thank you.
It couldn't get any more disgusting than that. You know, talking about Barack Obama and a magic wand. You know, it was...
With the pick in your hand.
Yeah, it's nothing...
That says Obama for 2012 or something.
Here's where I'm even angrier. To say that, you know, he doesn't have a magic wand. Where were the people who were saying... No one on the right was saying that George W. Bush can't get it done in 3 years. He doesn't have a magic wand. Nobody said that against George W. Bush. They wanted him out of there. George W. Bush stole the 2000 election. He caused 9/11. He's sending us to war in Iraq. We need to get rid of him. That's what they said. There was no, oh, he needs more time. He doesn't have a magic wand.
There's no quick fix.
There's no quick fix. Yeah. Where's that?
Oh, they're making no excuses. They're making no excuses. I mean, in order for him to make anything of his time in office, he's going to have to win this election and then make some major changes down the road, provided he wins the election. But no, he's gonna more likely get voted out as a lame duck president.
He's got to get out of here.
And when he says there was no quick fix. Well, there sure as hell was a quick plummet.
Yeah, that there was.
I mean, there's no denying that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Good comeback. I like that one.
I mean, hello.
You are.
Were gas prices ever like this when Bush or any other president?
They did go up. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, they did go up.
Went up. But they didn't go up like
not
this.
Not like
they did not.
And it gets worse than that. No president, no sitting president has ever openly said that in order to wean Americans off of fossil fuel, we need the gas prices to go up to European levels. In Europe, it's $8, $9 a gallon. Okay? No president, no sitting president has ever said in order to get us off fossil fuel, in order to get us off of crude oil, that we need to have gas prices go up, to wean us off to go up. And he said that under his plan, gas prices would rise. He said we expected a gradual growth. But he still said that he is for growth. And then when he's asked about it by Fox News, he said, what president during a re-election wants gas prices to go up? Well, you did. That was your whole thing. You need people to have to get off the dependency of oil. That was the reason why you did it. It's the bottom line. It's ridiculous. Anyway, let's take a break.
Andrew even made that statement with what we have in our national reserve. Mm-hmm. That was asinine.
Yeah, of course it was. And then you find out that your Department of Energy secretary doesn't even drive a car. But yet he's telling everybody about how he wants gas prices. He wants to wean everybody. Look, I can't deal with it.
What do you mean he doesn't drive a
car? He doesn't drive a car. He doesn't even own a car. He's the energy secretary. Energy secretary. By the way, when we come back...
How does he get to him from work?
He has a freaking driver, but he doesn't own his own car. Look, when we come back, there's something I want to talk about. Barack Obama took our tax money and gave $10 million to a company to come up with a new light bulb. When we return, we'll find out how much that light bulb is going to cost you and me to buy.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio. And if you missed the show, you probably missed this little thing that I revealed for the first time since 2007.
I'll give you another example. I've got a crush on a Slurpee. I love Coca-Cola Slurpees. Love them. I'll get the biggest one there is. I don't care how filled my bladder. I'm telling you, I've had four of them in a day. And we're talking about the big 64 ounce. I am in love with a Coca-Cola Slurpee. When I used to live in Fort Lee, New Jersey, I used to walk 7 blocks in New Jersey to get to the 7-Eleven and go get me a Coca-Cola Slurpee. Now, for a little time, back in 2007, I had an official Coke problem.
Okay. Very funny.
Tune in weeknights from 7 to 10 right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. You never know what I'm going to reveal.
One time racism saved my life, man. I was on a plane. I was coming from overseas, and I don't know how this guy got a machine gun on the plane, but he stood up, man. He said, "Everybody, get on the ground. Nobody look at my face." I started freaking out because he was Chinese. I was like, "Why is he talking like that?" He was screaming and crying. I was the only brother on the plane. Well, I thought I was the only brother. I looked over. There was one other black dude. He's from Nigeria. I looked over at him. He was looking right in my face, man. He didn't say two words to me. He just looked at me. He was like... He didn't even talk. I knew just what he was talking about. I looked right back at him. That's right. Some white dudes on the front of the plane seen us. They were like, "Oh, my God. I think those black guys are going to try to save us." We were just communicating that we understood the situation. We were both seeing the same thing. What we understood was simple. Terrorists don't take black hostages. That's the truth. I have yet to see one of us on the news reading the hostage letter. They is treating us good. We all chilling and shit. I'd like to give a shout out to Ray Ray and Big Steve and Central Newport. You're not going to see it. Terrorists are smart. They know what they're doing there, you know. They terrorists. They know it was black people's bad bargaining chips. They called the White House and said, "Hello? We have got 5 black... Hello?"
Hey, guys, it's Reese on the Radio. And are you nervous about calling Reese on the Radio with 347-308-8701? That's fine. You can send us an email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. We'll take all of your emails and we'll read them on the air. Don't like the show? We'll read it. Like the show? We'll definitely read it. You're indifferent about the show? We'll read it. Whatever it is you've got to say, we'll read it. Just send an email to reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. That's right, reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. Get your comments live on the air. Get your views. Get your position made. Whatever it is that you've got to say, just email us at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian Americans moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking.
Trees on the Radio, we're back 49 minutes after the hour right here on this March 13th, 2012. Now, I got to get into this story. When I saw this, actually a couple of days ago. But you see the price there, right?
$50.
This is the most insane thing I've ever heard in my entire life. So, usually, if you're a company, you say to yourselves, hey, I got a light bulb that will last you 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make the light bulb, and I'm going to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how business works. But the Obama administration is so desperate to force companies to create technology that they gave $10 million as a grant to a company and told them, can you develop us a long-lasting light bulb? Which you can see that they did. It's a $10 million prize to encourage the development of a cheap green domestic light bulb to replace the dearly departed Edison model. 5 years later, the bulb is coming out to a hardware store near you, and it'll cost you $50. It also fails to meet electronic company fails to meet many of the original prize specifications. The winner, Dutch electronics company Philips, was the one and only entrant, suggesting that the prize failed to stimulate widespread additional private spending on research and development. The portion of the LED bulb made in America is less than initially envisioned, and the guidelines for pricing were utterly ignored. The goal was a $22 price tag in the first year, falling rapidly to about $8 by year three. Meanwhile, a lot has happened over those 5 years. Americans are perhaps grudgingly adopting to new light bulb technologies, experimenting with CFLs. I don't even know what that is. Halogens and LEDs. The fluorescence of options was partially due to the fact that the relevant technologies reached a natural tipping point, particularly due to the increasing cost of energy. Yeah, we get all that.
Partially due.
Anyway, bottom line is that this is what it is that they came up with, and it's a $50 light bulb. Now,
why
would we spend that kind of money on a light bulb?
I wouldn't.
So your money went to waste. Didn't it?
No, the government gave them that money.
That's
that
our money.
Our money.
Yeah. So our money went to waste.
Yeah. Of course. It goes to waste all the time.
Why are we dealing with a president who can't stop forcing this ridiculousness down our throats? That is the part that I don't understand. I'm having more and more difficulty every day trying to understand why they're doing it. We're never, ever, ever going to replace the light bulb. It's never going to happen.
Not for $50.
Okay, you don't reinvent the wheel. You don't. You can't. Why bother? Just leave things as they are. And you know what makes me laugh? Here's the part that makes me laugh. To show you how ridiculous this administration is. They want everybody to drive electric cars, right? They want everybody to drive hybrids. And they want to get our dependence off of fossil fuels. Now, what's a fossil fuel? Well, that's coal and oil, right? Coal and oil. Does anybody know what creates electricity? Coal. So, what is the purpose of removing coal from the lexicon of energy, if indeed you're going to need more of it to power more and more electric cars? It's a bass-ackwards administration. Always has been, always will be. It's just the bottom line. And I'm sad that they have to be this stupid and ridiculous. But this is part of the reason why we need to get rid of guys like good old Barack Hussein Obama. And you can call that crazy or mean or just straight old vicious. But the bottom line is, he's just got to go. He's got to get the hell out so we can get back to some sort of normalcy where people can get jobs like me and do regular stuff. That's all I want, folks. That's all I need. Regular, good old, normal stuff. That's all I need. Hey, by the way, JC, I'm looking at this video for the Guantanamo Bay soccer field. This video doesn't have the new renovated field. It just talks about the field still, you know, being built. This is a story from March 3rd. Was there someplace else that you got this story? Okay, JC is probably not with us.
Yeah,
oh, there you go. Yeah, that video you gave me is an old clip from March 3rd. It's 10 days ago.
Where did I find that at? I came across
You're telling me that there is a renovated soccer field in Guantanamo Bay already?
Yeah. Yes.
Are you certain?
I don't think so. Yes, I'm almost certain.
All right, double check and let me know whether or not you really, really do find it. I don't think it's there. I don't think it's there yet because I know people are still protesting it. I don't think it's there
Have you watched the video?
Yeah, I watched the whole video. There's nothing there yet.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I watched the whole video for where it is so far. There are people talking about it. There are lawmakers that are questioning a new soccer field at Guantanamo Bay. And there's nothing that remotely even says that. It still looks like the same, quote-unquote, dirty grass that it was there before, like sunburnt grass. It looks like the same thing that there already was.
Hmm.
So you're saying you saw turf in the video that you were looking at?
Actually, no.
What did you see?
I saw what was in the video.
You saw what?
I saw what was in the video. Maybe I misunderstood what they were saying, but I thought it was completed.
No,
and that's why they were questioning why the budget was cut.
It's not going to be that easy. It's not going to be that easy for them to build that. Trust me. That's going to come under a crap load of protest, I promise you. And if it doesn't, somebody's got a lot of hell to pay. If it doesn't, there's going to be some problems. Anyway, we'll take a break. We come back at the top of the hour, and we got some sports news. There's trades all over the place. Randy Moss is on another team. When we return, it's Reese on the Radio.
Hi, Bill Maher here. Sarah Palin agreed to do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome.
Speaking of dumb dogs,
it's not because they have breasts. It's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC.
I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way. And I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC $1 million. Sarah Palin, a strange family of inbred weirdos. She called Levi over and over until a baby fell out.
The Maverick and the Milk. They fined CBS $1 million for Janet Jackson's nipple. Think what they could get for Hillary Clinton's cut.
That's not sexist.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
She is the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I don't know any woman in America that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Please welcome Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted.
Speaking of dumb,
this is a Category 5 moron we have on our hands. And I am unapologetic.
Top 10 highlights of Sarah Palin's trip to New York City. Number two, bought makeup at Bloomingdale's, updated her slutty flight attendant look.
I'm going to try to lead by example.
During the seventh inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
To send a message to all our young people, I'm going to try to lead by example.
Speaking of dumb quats,
Maher decided to help President Obama out and give him a financial boost.
He's donated $1 million.
Last week, I said goodbye to $1 million. I made a contribution to Obama's Super PAC.
This ends up being a teachable moment.
I wouldn't put anything past this stupid country.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. I'm going to try to lead by example in this situation.
You're seeing a president adopt policies which affect our economy based not upon what's right for the American worker, but instead what's right for their politics. The National Labor Relations Board, now stacked with union stooges selected by the president, says to a free enterprise like Boeing, you can't build a factory in South Carolina because South Carolina is a right-to-work state. That is simply un-American. It's political payback of the worst kind. It is wrong for America, and it is something that will stop under my administration. I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb in white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Top of the hour for a minute after the hour on this Reese on the Radio, Tuesday, March the 13th, 2012. The number is 347-308-8701. And it's a little bit of sports news that's happening. JC, you are going to be, well, you don't really follow the sport, but you should be happy. Randy Moss, famed, definitely Hall of Famer, definitely future Hall of Famer, Randy Moss, who's played for the Minnesota Vikings, has played played for the Minnesota Vikings. Well, he wasn't traded. He actually got signed because he wasn't playing for anybody. So Minnesota Vikings, then he went on to play for the New England Patriots, where, of course, he broke the record most touchdowns in the season, thanks to Tom Brady, I think he had 28 or something like that, 20 catching touchdowns. Anyway, broke the record. And then... furthermore, went to the Titans and was off for a year and is now a wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers, which I think, in my opinion, he is going to be a great fit in San Francisco with Alex Smith. Alex Smith needs a guy with Randy Moss's hands. And if Randy Moss can still play, which we believe because they say his San Francisco debut or his tryout was extremely well received. So, in essence, why he was signed, but he only got a year contract, and that's pretty much all you need. You know, you make enough money, you do pretty well, you're going to be all right. So that was pretty good for him. And, of course, as I mentioned, you know, sad news because Tim Tebow looks like he will be he'll be going back to Florida.
Shut up.
I don't know for certain, but he doesn't have a team that's going to sign him, and he's going to end up being a backup. I don't know. It just looks that way. There haven't been any reports confirming it nor denying it. But it looks really, really strong that Peyton Manning is going to be going to the Denver Broncos. So it's sad, but, you know, again, like I said, I root for a guy like Tim Tebow. I don't want him on my team, but I root for him. Because I want the guy to be received well in football. And if you know anything about his story, you know that this guy, you know, people were counting him out even when he was a baby. You know, when he was before he was born, his mother was told by doctors, you can't have him, you're going to die unless you abort him. And she didn't abort him.
Wow.
You know, and she risked her life as a Christian to keep her son, and she did, and, you know, and he's devoted his life to Christ, and, you know, I don't know. Just, you know, they didn't think he'd play at Florida State. And he went and he put, not Florida State, he put and played for the Florida Gators. Went and played for the Florida Gators. Didn't win one Heisman Trophy, but won two. And, you know, a guy like him and the people, they chide him, they berate him, they rag on him. And the guy just keeps on chucking with a smile on his face. He doesn't let the hate get to him. And for me, that's just, it's a wonderful thing to see a guy like that not let it get to him. He's so confident about who he is that he just keeps on trucking. I'm sure there are moments when he gets angry or he gets upset. He's feeling as though he's being slighted. But he found his peace with God. And, you know, I don't envy it. And I'm not jealous of it. I admire it.
I commend it.
And I admire it. Because I probably don't have enough guts. I don't have the guts that Tim Tebow has. That's why I admire it. And I look up to it. I can be more like Tim Tebow. And I want to be more like Tim Tebow. You know, but, you know, I just don't feel like it right now.
You just don't want to do the stuff it takes to be
I
like
just
it.
Don't want to do it. I'm not trying to do it.
You take your time when you're ready, buddy.
God will accept me when I'm ready.
That's right.
And he doesn't force it down anybody's throat. That's what I like about Tim Tebow. He's not forcing anybody to fall his way. That's a damn good thing. Because they'd probably hate him even more. Now, I never heard anybody ripping apart Kurt Warner's wife. She was walking around in that crew cut, talking about Jesus Christ every chance she got.
Yeah.
So leave my boy Tebow alone. I love you, buddy. I got your back. All those demons, I can face the demons. We must keep you pure forever and ever. We must continue.
Didn't get some yet.
No, he ain't getting none till he's married. Leave him alone. People are so mean and so self-righteous.
Gingrich is up in Alabama. He was in third place, and now he's in first.
Are you serious?
I sugar, honey, I see you not.
Wow.
We're going to introduce Tebow to Hazel Jones. I don't have choices.
Went from being in first place to third place. Gingrich and him switched in Alabama. Mississippi, he's still in.
Well, the precincts are only 1% and 3%. So there's Alabama. That's only 1% of the precincts. There's Alabama. Now he's actually, no, he's not in first.
He was in first just a minute ago.
Well, Santorum, that's in Mississippi. Santorum's in first place, beating Romney 33-31.
Gingrich
is in third with 29%. It is still a three-way race with only 9% reporting. Alabama, Santorum 35, Gingrich with 29.
But
Romney with 28.
That jump. I mean, that changed.
That's only 2%. So, yeah, well, we're going to have to wait way until the rest of the night before anything happens. Speaking of which, the primary is taking place in all three of those states. This is a story that I saw today.
Alabama, Mississippi, and where?
Alabama, Mississippi, and not Guam. What is that place? Yeah, Guam. In Guam, there's what do you call it? It's not a primary. It's called something else.
Oh, well, I don't see any Guam reporting.
Yeah, there's not going to be any Guam reporting yet. But those are also taking place.
Yeah, CNN has listed Hawaii.
Yeah, it's Hawaii, right? Yes, Hawaii.
Yeah.
And the U.S. Guam something. I don't know exactly.
Guam territory.
Yeah, Guam territory. This was a story that I saw. Now, listen, guys, let me ask you this. In order to get a driver's license, you need ID.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so, and in order to get a marriage license, you need ID, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if you go to get a beer, or cigarettes. You need ID to prove that if you're going to get a drink at a bar, you got to show ID, right?
Yeah.
So what I'm baffled about is, why is it that you don't need any of those things to go register to vote?
What?
No, you don't.
According to
who? Well, according to George O'Keefe, who is a part of Project Veritas, who did a secret report about voter registration. And he went to go get a photo ID. And in trying to get a voter ID, he asked the people who were there many times whether or not he had to show ID. And he even used the names of dead people and was still allowed to vote. And what I'm trying to figure out is why some people would think that that was okay. Because they're trying to put a stop to voter ID laws. And as you talked about, JC, yesterday, the Justice Department, the Department of Justice, put the kibosh on Texas trying to get people to get voter ID laws there. Here's George O'Keefe's report.
Mohammed. If people walked in to vote in the Vermont presidential primary and said the names of both living and dead people...
Stop hearing John Adams.
Do you have an Adam Berger?
Do you have a Travis Hull?
Mohammed, please,
Mohammed.
Could these people be offered ballots to vote for president without showing any identification?
What you need, you don't need ID?
You said you are who you are, your name is on there.
This vote, you need ID?
Nope.
You don't need ID?
Nope.
In Kazakhstan, you need ID to vote, you know?
If you go over to see Bridget, she will give you a local ballot.
I don't have my ID on me.
That's okay.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm. You're the second person who's done that today.
It's that simple, so I just fill this out and I can vote?
Yep.
Now, hang on, let me get my ID. Hang on.
We don't really need an ID either.
You don't?
No.
Don't. I would prefer Republican.
Yeah. And here's the problem. Two sides don't fit the ballot. You don't have to show
I don't? Really?
She marked your name off.
You don't need my ID or anything?
If a man walked into a bar and objected to showing ID, what would happen?
You require a photo ID here?
Yes, we do. I'm very sorry that I can't serve you without an ID.
You don't care? Wrong. That is racist.
I said I'm sorry, I can't serve you without an ID.
Minorities are 20% more likely not to have a photo ID in the United States than white Americans. Personally, I am offended by that policy.
Well, I'm sorry, sir. The state requires a ID anyway.
The state requires it.
Yeah, you have to have an ID.
Why does your hotel have this racist policy?
I don't believe that it's racist.
So you're following orders.
Yeah,
historically, that defense doesn't do
sir,
so
you
well.
Don't want to show me your ID. I can't serve you a drink. I'm sorry.
Do you have an ID with you?
No, I don't. I don't have the time. I don't have the resources and money to say, look, I have to quit my job to go down to the DMV and do
that.
Or they only give me a secret.
I'm very sorry. I can call someone from the Burlington Police Department and have them come down.
I don't want to drink very badly enough.
I want to be like, did you vote today?
And if two men walked into City Hall and asked to get a civil union, could they do so without showing any ID?
Have either of you been in a domestic partnership before?
We've been in a domestic partnership before. No. This is the first time we'd like to be married, but we're just doing a civil union. So here we go. Here's $27 for the marriage or the civil union deposit right there. And
I do need to see your papers.
So you need the identification, right? Okay, we don't actually have identification.
Do you have a driver's license?
We do not. We can't afford it.
No.
That just seems so outrageous to me because when we went to vote, they didn't ask for an ID. question. It's like, if you can vote and get, you know, why can't you get married?
I don't quite understand that.
They're both constitutional rights.
It's a marriage repression law. It's a
yes.
marriage repression law to require, well, let's require people have money, have voter ID. It's just it's repressive.
Mm-hmm.
That's the issue.
Creating more and more hoops for us
and
to jump through.
Americans this
right.
Thing. He can't find a job, and we're trying to find a house, and I'm trying to pay. It's just so expensive and cumbersome, and that's why I have a problem with this marriage. He needs an ID to get married, I mean.
But well, like I said, there's nothing you can do.
Nor
not on my own,
ethnic,
because like I was given these instructions.
This is what the state's requiring you to do. You ask for ID.
Yeah.
Well, then why does your hotel have this racist policy? Do you segregate your breakfast room for the continental breakfast? Okay, if Motel 6 will leave the light on for you, if you're the way we like you.
Could I get the Republican then?
Absolutely.
Republican?
And I'm sorry for mispronouncing your name. I'm sure as we meet, I will get better at pronouncing you. Thank you so much.
Can I get ID?
Really?
No, ID?
We're all set to go.
Now that was.
What you need? You don't need ID.
You said you
for
are
this,
who you are. Your name is on there.
This vote, you need ID.
Nope.
You don't need ID.
Nope.
In Kazakhstan, you need ID to vote. You know.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I think that if you weren't on the checklist, and if we had several people with your name,
I get in trouble.
Thank you. No, you're not going to get in trouble.
I'm going to get in trouble.
Why?
I get ID.
Okay.
I get ID. You require a photo ID here?
Yes, we do. Actually, well, the
Why?
State of Vermont does.
Really? Yeah. Lucas Hertweck, 16.
Okay, could you repeat your name?
Lucas Hertweck. I would prefer Republican.
Yep. And here's
Republican.
Two sides on the ballot. You don't have to
serve. I don't? Really?
She marked your name off.
You don't need my ID or anything?
Okay.
I would... Can I get it from my car? I would prefer to show ID. It's a matter of principle. I'm just not comfortable voting without an ID.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So you follow it because the state says so?
Well, we follow it because we don't want to be shut down and lose our liquor license.
So you're just following orders.
Absolutely.
But that's an alcohol suppression law. It's a piece of legislation that disproportionately affects minorities.
I'm very sorry that I can't serve you without an ID.
You don't care? That is racist. You're
going to
call the cops on me.
Actually,
because of who I am.
So there's your breakdown. Bottom line is that every other place that these guys at Project Veritas went down to, they went down to City Hall, tried to get a license in order for them to have a civil union, went to a bar to try to get a drink, went to other went to other places where you require ID. But the one place where no one seemed to care was voting for the President of the United States. No, you do not need ID. But yet, the Department of Justice has struck down a law requiring people to get ID to go vote because they think that it's disproportionately racist, or it singles out people who cannot get registered to vote. You know what that is, right? The bottom line is that the reason that they are doing this is because they know that Latinos, 12 million strong in this country, are illegal. And if there is a loophole to push their numbers above what would normally be required to be elected, that the one simple thing that they will make sure that they do is that they're able to vote. So it's just a shell game, ladies and gentlemen. That's all it is. But no one's reporting about it.
And you wonder why our election system has gone to hell in a handbasket.
Well, yeah, people have been talking about voter fraud forever. Forever.
Yeah.
But this Justice Department, and here it is, the only thing they're asking you to do is, look, we just want to make sure that the person who's voting is allowed to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Not just even allowed to vote, but who they say they are.
Right.
And why wouldn't that be a good thing? But, of course, it's the attitude of the left, as usual, doing everything they can to stop Republicans from winning in elections and doing it in an underhanded way, as usual. And that's the bottom line. That's it. By the way, when we come back, I'll give you a tease about our announcement that's happening on Friday. I'll give you a tease. We'll be right back. It's Teresa on the Radio.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. At uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating.
that participate. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby, twinkle, twinkle.
Teresa on the radio, we're back 25 minutes after the hour. March the 13th, 2012, Tuesday. Number 347-308-8701. I was trying to get some audio up on ABC.com. They had a report that was on World News Now that comes on overnight, talking about the celebrities who are supporting the Republican candidates. Everybody knows that all the new hip people are supporting, you know, Barack Obama. We all know that. There's no denying it. And we all know who those people are. So we don't have to be we don't have to be all that surprised. What a story I saw earlier today. This was this is going to make some people indifferent. According to a new study conducted by the University of Minnesota, white college students who were exposed to just a few minutes of mainstream rock music, including Bruce Springsteen, were more likely to favor a student group that catered mostly to whites over groups that served other ethnic racial groups. When students listened to top 40 pop music, however, they showed equal support for white, African-American, Arab-American, and Latino-American student groups. But exposure to white power rock, a subgenre of music associated with white supremacist groups, resulted in especially negative treatment to African-American and Arab student groups. The study was published this year in the Journal of Broadcasting and Electronic Media. The lead author was Heather Lemaire, who did the work as a doctoral student in communication at Ohio State University. Lemaire is now an assistant professor at the Hughes School of Journalism and Mass Communication. Wow, the wrong place for this woman to be. According to the study, 125 white students were asked to sit alone in a waiting room for a few minutes before answering a questionnaire on how tuition funding should be allocated to student groups. During the seven-minute waiting period, the students didn't have access to cell phones or any other distractions, but there was music playing softly in the background. For one-third of the students, the music was mainstream rock, including songs by Bruce Springsteen, Foo Fighters, and Bon Jovi. Another third heard pop tunes by Justin Timberlake, Fergie, Akon, and Gwen Stefani. And the final third heard white power rock songs such as Bound for Glory's Hate Train Rolling. The students were asked to anonymously vote on how $500,000 in student tuition money should be allocated between student groups that catered to four different ethnic or racial groups: African American, Latino American, Arab Americans, and white. According to the study, the students who listened to the top 40 pop music on average allocated the same amount of money to each of the four student groups, but those who listened to mainstream rock allocated 35% of the funds to the white student groups and about 21% to each of the other three groups. Those who heard the white power rock gave even more money to white student groups at about 40%, while giving only 16% to African-American groups and about 15% to the Arab-American group. The researchers, who also included a professor at Ohio State and a professor at Loyola University in Maryland, wrote that the genre of music can influence listeners' attitudes towards racial groups, even though the lyrics have nothing to do with race. Mainstream rock music is most associated with white Americans, according to the study. And when white listeners hear it, that may cue a closer identity with other whites, and that in turn leads to more positive attitudes and behaviors towards the group. Now, what does this mean? Let me break it down for you. Get your recorders on. It means the reason why niggers are killing each other in the frickin' street is because niggers keep listening to horrible, pathetic, demoralizing, and disgusting rap music that degrades their own race. If the Ohio study is true, that whites hear rock music and cater to whites, that means that the reason why niggers are killing each other in the street is because they're rap, violent rap music, is telling them to kill people who look just like them. Nigger, nigger, die, nigger, nigger, die. What a hot beat. That makes sense to you?
No.
Why doesn't it make sense to you?
Because that's not what they're just saying that when you listen.
You agree with this study?
No.
Oh, okay. So you're giving the study. I'm clearly saying that the study has absolutely no base. It's laughable. It's completely laughable. You got 7 minutes to listen to rock music and all of a sudden you're a racist? What, are we stupid now? And now the study's being printed online and people are talking about it. Like for some odd reason this woman knows what she's talking about. Like these people have some sort of clue. I've never been more offended in my entire life. I love rock music. I can't get enough of it. Doesn't change the fact that I don't like horrible Negro music. I love rock music. That's the Foo Fighters right there. That means that I'm a racist?
Are you talking to me?
Does that mean that I'm a racist? No, I'm playing music. Does that mean that I'm a racist now? Huh? Is that what that means? Hey, here's some Modest Mouse. That mean that I'm a racist? What about this? This is Papa Roach. All of that being said, I still got love for hip hop. I love some Outkast. It still wouldn't make me give more money to the Negro. Make it a little hard. How about this? I can listen to rock music. I can listen to rap music. So can every other person. People don't become racist by the music that they listen to. Music, and I don't care what it is. Music brings joy. Even if you're listening to violent rap, even if you're listening to misogynistic hip hop, even if you're listening to angry rock music or soft songs like Silent Lucidity by Queensryche. I hate the group, but love that song. Music brings joy. And this sounds like the person who did this study, she's probably a singer who probably got booed off American Idol, couldn't get past Simon Cowell, and now she hates music so much that she found a way to retaliate. Let's find out whether or not this woman was on American Idol. Let's look her up. There's always a backstory. I don't trust these people in college. They're never, ever telling the truth. They're bogus. Somebody's always got a... Everybody's got a motive. All have a motive. We'll be back.
I'm Jody Miller. Let's get started. Comedian Bill Maher tweeted that by not accepting Rush Limbaugh's apology to Sandra Fluck, liberals make themselves look bad. So good news, misogynists. The next time you use crude profanities to denigrate women, Bill Maher's got your back. Energy Secretary Stephen Chu testified before Congress that he does not own a car. Apparently, he curbs his carbon footprint the old-fashioned way. He makes someone else drive. Last week, the late Andrew Breitbart's websites released video of Barack Obama promoting radical views. That's right. It was video of Obama's 2012 State of the Union speech. After someone fainted at one of his speeches last week, President Obama said that happens all the time at his speeches. Yeah, but that's just when they look across the street and they see the high gas prices. MSNBC is under fire for allowing Al Sharpton to hold a Democrat political rally on air. Oh, come on. Lighten up, critics. MSNBC is a Democratic political rally. One of Warren Buffett's companies owes the government $300 million in unpaid taxes. So that's why Buffett doesn't mind higher taxes on the rich. He's not going to pay them anyway. The TLC network has canceled its reality show, All American Muslim. As expected, President Obama immediately apologized to All American Muslims. And finally, Pat Robertson announced last week that he believes the government should legalize marijuana. Well, yeah, it's in the Bible, chapter 420, Book of Mary Jane. Thanks for watching Newsbus, everybody. I'm Jody Miller. Be sure to subscribe to our videos on YouTube, and we'll catch you next time.
Trying a brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue, super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password, ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale.
Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th.
New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward.
Participation may vary.
I tried a lot of cars, Ford Pinto, the Pontiac Fiero, but the Volt was the first car that truly got me excited and looking into the prospect of buying American again.
Yeah, I've heard they're catching on fire in some cases,
But I found that the fire really helps me get to my destination faster for fear of my life. Also, people really move out of the way when giant hunks of metal are hurtling towards them. Probably the one thing that sold me on the car. I'm really proud of what GM has been able to accomplish by working with the Obama administration. They've proven that in America, you can make it in any business, as long as you have unlimited financial resources and the backing of the United States government. I don't know about you, but I think that's more than worth the couple hundred thousand dollars it costs taxpayers every time somebody buys one of these suckers. I'm sorry, do you smell something?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the radio. It's Reese on the radio. We are back live. 41 minutes after the hour. It's March the 13th, 2012. Did you guys know that today was the anniversary of the discovery of Uranus? It is. I learned that today for the first time. Uranus was discovered today.
How many years ago?
I don't know. It was definitely a while ago. I just find it funny. It's like, look, I'm the same guy who still laughs every time I see like stupid what do you call it? Like jokes about it's, you know what I mean. It's just I pretty much laugh at anything. It's pretty easy to make me laugh. I don't know why, but I don't like corny. Well, I guess I do like corny jokes. I fall for corny jokes all the time. I don't know why. It's just a thing. I'm always sort of caught up in that silliness. It's just kind of, that's just stupid. Anyway, so to recap the show, let's see what we talked about. If you missed today, we talked about homeless Wi-Fi. Homeless people in in Texas, in Austin, Texas, who are being paid $50 a day to wrap a Wi-Fi device around their necks and walk around the South by Southwest Festival and sell Wi-Fi to people passing by. I think it's like $2 for 15 minutes or something like that. They're allowed to keep the money, and people are saying that, of course, the group is being dehumanized. Homeless people, that is, are being dehumanized by this practice. And the homeless people, on the other hand, they're happy to do it because they're getting money. They feel as though they're part of the workforce. So they're happy to do it. They want to do it. But unfortunately, people are not happy about it. Here's the report.
The idea behind homeless hotspots is that homeless people are paid to stand by internet users while carrying a so-called MiFi device that basically acts like a wireless hotspot. The project's creators say all the profits go to a charity supporting homeless people, but some critics are not exactly convinced. Trace Gallagher has more live from L.A. Trace?
Hey, Megan, it's happening in the South by Southwest Music and Technology Conference in Austin, Texas. And the marketing company that came up with this homeless hotspot, what they do is they give these homeless people this MiFi device, and they can then access the 4G network through that. And the homeless people are also wearing T-shirts that say, I'm a 4G hotspot. So if you need internet access, you go up and you stand next to them, and you pay them whatever you believe is fair. The recommended price is $2 for 15 minutes. The homeless people get to keep all that money, and they are guaranteed to get $50 for 6 hours' work. And the homeless say they very much appreciate it. Listen.
Everybody that got a job will come together and grab 12 or grab two at a time. Then you might not have a homeless problem. You will have working citizens paying taxes and living life.
But critics claim this practice is shameful. They say it's dehumanizing, dystopian. The science blogger Eric Berger writes, and I'm quoting here, it has to do with digital divides, haves and have-nots, and the idea that a fellow human being is of no more use to you than as an internet jack. But the company that created this homeless hotspot says, wait a minute, that we are actually employing these homeless people and all the extra profits go directly to homeless shelters. They say they're being villainized. They're trying to do a good thing. What they're saying is they're trying to modernize the old system where homeless people would publish and then sell their own newspapers. And they say this program will not go beyond the South by Southwest conference, which is happening in Austin right now.
This is, and then the most insane part about this is that, you know, when the homeless people were publishing their own newspapers, no one would buy them because it was homeless news. What's worse off, it was already the fact that people were ignoring the homeless. Who wants to read their news? It was like, yeah, I got to deal with the fact that you're hawking this newspaper and you're homeless. Now I got to read news about you being homeless? Look, I've already got to go to work and I hate it there. Now I got to read about your horrible life. I'm sorry, I'm being a little insensitive, but you get my meaning. It's the reason why people would turn them away. So now they're giving people what it is that they want or they need, providing a service, and they're getting paid. And as I said earlier in the show, if they were doing this with college kids, not one person would bat an eye. Well, what jobs? Because you notice they don't want homeless people to have jobs. They just want homeless people to receive money. They want them to receive benefits. Homeless people are not supposed to get jobs. They're not supposed to get out of their homeless situation. They believe that they should just get money. They should get programs. And that's the reason why. Because I would ask any moron, well, what the hell do you expect us to do? What should we do to help the homeless? And, of course, their response would be, well, give them money. Donate to their charity.
They are the charity.
It's just ridiculous. But anyway, all right. Speaking of black people,
oh my God.
I'm kidding. Not all black people are homeless. They're not all black. Anyway, a black father in Miami wanted to teach his son a lesson for getting four Fs. We talked about that earlier. Here's the report.
A Miami seventh grader who flunked three classes is getting an A in public humiliation. Get this, Michael Bell Jr.'s dad is making him stand on a busy intersection wearing a sign that reads, I want to be a class clown, is it wrong? Okay, on the back it asks cars to honk if they think three Fs are bad. The odd punishment appears to be paying off. Bell now says he's sorry and will do better.
I don't like it, but I know that it was my fault that I got this.
He has been screwing up in school, behavior and academics. And right now I'm trying to send a message to him.
Bell's dad says he doesn't want his son to become a statistic, and the embarrassing sign was a last resort.
So I think he did a good thing, and I think there's no dispute there. Sometimes you have to go to extreme lengths. You know, you can't beat your kids. You can't lock them in a closet for 9 years. And again, I'm not saying I did that. I'm saying that there was a story where a father locked his daughter in a closet for 9 years. Actually happened. Anyway, we talked about that. And, of course, we talked to our good friend Derek earlier today. And we, of course, brought this report that's not really being covered by the mainstream media about investigators who spent a lot of time going over Barack Obama's birth certificate that was placed online by the White House on whitehouse.gov, and they were able to dissect it digitally.
Oh, my God. Nobody wanted this. You know, nobody wants to think this is happening, you know, in their country.
Lead investigator Michael Zullo claims the group didn't set out to take down the president.
Our goal in the beginning was to prove this document authentic. The problem is the evidence kept taking us somewhere else.
He says it took 6 months and 2,200 hours to come to the conclusion that President Obama's birth certificate from Hawaii, released by the White House last April, was manufactured.
It never was a paper document. It was literally created in the mind of a computer and resides on cyberspace.
The White House responded today by pointing to the president's comments last year regarding the same issue.
We're not going to be able to solve our problems if we get distracted by sideshows and carnival barkers.
This is your face, your reputation, your name.
in the front of this investigation. How comfortable are you making these allegations?
I'm very comfortable because we did seek the advice of experts regarding this. You can build the document. We could take the document apart out of the same file released by the White House. You can't do that if you just scan in a birth certificate or any other document.
What do you say to the naysayers? And there are a lot of critics out there saying this is all, you know, a bunch of BS.
Prove it. We did.
And, of course, it's most naysayers say that, you know, they don't believe it. They believe he was born in Hawaii, but, you know, the question is raised and the evidence is there. After all of that research, not one person is reporting it. And lastly, we talked about today, amongst other things, we talked, as far as news stories go, about Lovie Smith, the coach of the Chicago Bears, the NFL team, doing a commercial for Barack Obama, for African Americans, for Barack Obama 2012. And this is Lovie Smith's commercial.
I'm pleased with where we are now. The president has done so much. Healthcare, end of the Iraq war, new jobs, but it's not about where we are now, it's about our future, and that's what I'm excited about. You have to be patient and kind of look into the future, and our future is looking bright because I trust the man that will be leading us in the future, and that man is Barack Obama. I have the president's back, and it's left up to us as African Americans to show that we have his back also. Join African Americans for President Obama today.
A sad state of affairs when a football coach, one of the first African Americans to reach the Super Bowl, which is, okay, great, and I get that. That's a great, you know, accomplishment and all. You know, he lost the Super Bowl to another black coach, Tony Dungy, of the Indianapolis Colts. But nonetheless, you know, to marginalize himself politically, I think, was a dumb move, but, you know, it happens. And, well, I said lastly, but I'd be remiss if I did not mention the fact that Hazel Jones has two vaginas.
With uterus didelphus, a medical condition which is thought to affect around 1 in 3,000 women. It means that she has two vaginas.
But Hazel's condition is even more complicated, making her 1 in 1,000,000. She's here to explain, along with Dr. Dawn Harper. And we read through this morning going, no, it is extraordinary. But for you, growing up, when you were little, you didn't spot it, and neither did
no
your mum.
No, I didn't know I was any different whatsoever.
So as a little baby, changing nappies and things like that, you really cannot see this.
No, even now. I mean, I went to examinations as I was growing up because I had certain problems, and no one even saw it then.
Yeah.
But I guess in hindsight, when you look back, there were signs, weren't there?
Yes.
And the first time that you noticed any sort of problem ever was when your period started at the age of 14. That was not fun, was it? Because really, you were getting two separate
We should explain before we get into that how you're built, and how that works, because we've got Dawn, would you explain here what this means?
Interesting.
I don't think you think I can even go through anything further on that. How you're built. We need to talk about how you're built like a freak. You're built like a freak. You have two compartments, and you're built like a circus freak. And if you were my child, I'd feed you with the slingshot across the room, if you were my child, that's what I would do. And you wouldn't be allowed to sit in the television room and watch the telly with the rest of us. You could watch in designated hours, so you could not be with the normal children in our family. That would be me. Normal people in the house, you could not be with them. So we put on things like The Outer Limits and The Twilight Zone. You could watch that kind of episode, so you feel more normal, like you feel more comfortable around your own people, circus freaks, and you could watch the Sci-Fi Channel and perhaps TLC, the Learning Channel, learn about yourself. Anyway, that's just me. Sorry.
With uterus didelphus.
All right. We'll take a break. I'm so bad. We'll take a break when we come back. We'll wrap it up, and I'll tease what it is that I'm going to be announcing on Friday right here on Officer Radio. It's going to be a change that I think people will be excited about, or maybe they won't. We'll find out when we return. It's Reese on the Radio.
Hi, Bill Maher here. Sarah Palin agreed to do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome.
Speaking of dumb,
it's not because they have breasts. It's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC.
I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way. And I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC $1 million.
Sarah Palin, the strange family of inbred weirdos.
She fucked Levi over and over until a baby fell out.
The Maverick and the Milk. They fined CBS $1 million for Janet Jackson's nipple. Think what they could get for Hillary Clinton's cunt.
That's not sexist.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
She is the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I don't know any woman in America that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Please welcome Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted.
Speaking of dumb,
this is a Category 5 moron we have on our hands, and I am unapologetic.
Top 10 highlights of Sarah Palin's trip to New York City. Number 2, bought makeup at Bloomingdale's, updated her slutty flight attendant look.
I'm going to try to lead by example.
During the 7th inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
To send a message to all our young people, I'm going to try to lead by example.
Speaking of dumb quads,
Maher decided to help President Obama out and give him a financial boost.
He's donated $1 million.
Last week, I said goodbye to $1 million. I made a contribution to Obama's Super PAC.
This ends up being a teachable moment.
I wouldn't put anything past this stupid country.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. I'm going to try to lead by example in this situation.
You're seeing a president adopt policies which affect our economy based not upon what's right for the American worker, but instead what's right for their politics. The National Labor Relations Board, now stacked with union stooges selected by the president, says to a free enterprise like Boeing, you can't build a factory in South Carolina because South Carolina is a right-to-work state. That is simply un-American. It's political payback of the worst kind. It is wrong for America, and it is something that will stop under my administration.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio. And if you missed the show, you probably missed this little thing that I revealed for the first time since 2007.
I'll give you another example. I've got a crush on a Slurpee. I love Coca-Cola Slurpees. Love them. I'll get the biggest one there is. I don't care how filled my bladder. I'm telling you, I've had four of them in a day. And we're talking about the big 64 hours. I am in love with a Coca-Cola Slurpee. When I used to live in Fort Lee, New Jersey, I used to walk 7 blocks in New Jersey to get to the 7-Eleven and go get me a Coca-Cola Slurpee. Now, for a little time, back in 2007, I had an official Coke problem.
Okay. Very funny.
Tune in weeknights from 7 to 10 right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. You never know what I'm going to reveal. Anyway, it's Reese on the Radio. We're back. 60 seconds left at the end of the show. And what I wanted to tell you is that on Friday, I'm going to be doing something bold and different. So make sure you are here Friday when I announce it. To give you a tease, what it is that I'm going to be doing is very simple. It's this. And just to give you a hint,